This is James Garner, next on The Rockford Files.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Josh, we weren't here for Cinco de Mayo,
yes.
And we were both a little under the weather yesterday. Who posted that we don't need to tell everybody when we're sick? I really don't think we do. Who posted that?
We don't really need to do that.
That's just a little thing I wanted to,
Here's the type of emails I get, Mike. Oh, it's best of. Does that mean the show ended?
Well, it's I don't care. I don't give a shit. I don't know why we have to, I mean,
we want them to show up every morning at 8:15.
Right. Okay, but
if we no show on them without explaining,
I was barfing, and unfortunately, there was another ill person, so that's why we didn't have a show yesterday. But anyway, and as you can tell, I'm really happy about that. Anyway, welcome to the show. Now, we weren't here for Cinco de Mayo, and I had sent you a little treat for that, and I was wondering whether we had that lying around anywhere. You didn't do any graphics for it, but I wondered if the audio. What's that?
I don't have the graphics ready for it, but I do.
Could we hear the latest musical offering that I had a couple of days ago?
Clearly,
Josh,
the best lyrics yet. Those are clever.
I have to say, sometimes just sharing the audio, because I know that it would just be my impression. I don't know what you do when you get those songs, but I would imagine it's a bit more labor intensive than when I'm sitting in Carline writing lyrics and then describing a song. So, don't feel that you need to do it every single time. Right. That's perfectly cool.
And what's fun is when we play them on the show, the audio only listeners get to hear it.
This is true.
The podcast
this is true.
People, and because we always use it as a countdown.
And it's just the most. Here's the drill. Usually, when I do it, I've done three or four of them, and probably two of them I've done while waiting for my son for about 45 minutes. That's literally how much time I invest in doing it. And some that listen to it might say, "Well, it sounds like that." No, what it is elaborate because the work is done by a robot. Here it is. My son is the great arbiter. He hops into the car and he immediately will let me know whether he approves. There was a big grin on his face. He liked that.
When he gets in the car, is it just the words or is it the Miami Sound Machine as well?
It's the Miami Sound Machine. By the way, if you want to know the process here, I put in not Miami Sound Machine, but I think was it no boy band. Not Menudo, but I put.
Oh, the one where you can only. Oh no, that's the one where you, when you turn 12, they killed you, right?
And I didn't put in Mambo Number 5, which I wanted to because it was too old.
Lubega.
And I didn't put in Ricky Iglesias, but whatever I put in, that's what I got.
Did you put in Ricky Martin?
Ricky Martin. That's what I put in.
See, I like Ricky Martin. I like him a lot. So that's
Ricky Martin is what I put in there, and there it is. So
Mike,
here we are.
I got a new way for you to use this talent.
Really.
Yeah. Have you seen the Little League videos where the moms change up the walk-up songs?
No.
What they'll do is they'll not tell the kids, and they'll mix up the walk-up songs, and then it's some embarrassing song as the kid's walking up.
Really?
So you could make Michael his own walk-up song, not tell Michael.
I'm pretty sure.
Until he's heading to the plate.
I am pretty sure, because I've heard the similar one for so many different teams, that they farm out the walk-up music and they announce the Little Leaguers, which is...
Right,
yeah.
I don't know why I feel so bad about it, why I don't like it so much, but it's the same guy, and now...
Because you know you can do better. That's why you feel
but
sad
it's
about
not,
it.
It's just, I don't know. I think...
Yeah, well, we've told you, it's an app.
It's an app that that people use.
It does it.
The as far as the kids and the involvement, my entire summer has taken shape recently because my son made the All-Star team, and now the potential is what it's all about in All-Stars, where I have to. I think my family really does think I hate them, because as soon as I get the word, it is either the end of May, beginning of June, or potentially the entire summer, depending on single elimination with these tournaments, where they go. It's a warm up tournament followed by districts, followed by state, and then if you do well in state, then suddenly you're up in Branson, Missouri, doing this.
Oh, you could go see Elvis impersonator Dean Z.
I could. Oh. I don't
but
know
who
though
knows if you'll ever get to Maine. Then,
look. This is the last official. Well, no, it's not, because he's going to play 13U. But look, it's a joy. We love it, and I was really, really, I was surprised because he didn't hit as well. But he's a utility guy, so I think coaches want him on a team because he plays catcher, third base, shortstop, first base, and he pitches. So the fact that somebody told me a long time ago, as far as Little League, if your kid is versatile, a coach will want you on the team, and that
makes sense.
That's what he is. So I texted my sister because we're going up to Maine probably mid July. And I said, just a heads up. And I just can hear the shoulders go, there he goes again. I want to be in the Great White North. It's been too long since I've had any time up there. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that.
What I'm getting from this is, because of what could happen, you can't really make plans for your entire summer.
There's one hard and fast rule, Rob, about Little League.
Okay.
When you get on one of these teams, the commitment is total. You have to make the practices, and you have to make the games. That's I mean, obviously,
even if it
an
means
illness,
leaving your family,
even if it means leaving your family. And you know, I ordered the t-shirts with the rosters on the back, which will be a keepsake for me till the day I'm pushing up daisies, which has his name on the back. It's just very, very, it's a big, big deal down here.
Sure.
And I don't mind being involved at all.
Big deal in your house too. I mean,
yeah, it is. It's a big deal.
I've known you a long time, and to see you put golf even off just a little to the left.
Yeah.
This means a lot to you.
Well, it's fun and it's great for him. And it gets in the way of his e-biking, which, in my opinion, I was thinking about this earlier this morning, is the new skateboarding.
You think?
That's what I think.
Wow.
I just see now there are kids, his buddies, that are also active in sports and do stuff. But that when I come in and I drive up and I see my driveway filled with these kids with their wrenches and their screwdrivers. And then
they're like 1950s grease monkeys. They're like fixing the old Pontiac. Yes.
It feels that way. And then Carl and I were heading out together to the grocery store yesterday at about 5 o'clock. When your tummy feels better, you suddenly want to, you know, go out and get something.
Right.
And as we were driving out of the neighborhood, I saw the three of these boys, and they're all sweet kids. They're nice kids, but I see them in a line. I said, there goes the motorcycle gang.
Yeah.
there goes the motorcycle gang.
Well, I mean, you know what? You remember the classic episode of Andy Griffith of Nip It in the Bud. You're having a Barney Fife moment there.
Yeah.
If they break a street lamp, next week they'll be robbing banks.
I think it's fun.
My problem with it is skateboarding required some talent. It required some exercise.
Yes.
These e-bikes, they just press a button and go.
Yeah. We used to pedal our ass off, and that was the only way a lot of kids got exercise, and now it is what it is. But look, I love kids. I'm delighted to have this opportunity to be around them. And, you know, he is the center of my life right now, and we will see how far it goes. I think the earliest he could go would be the end of May. And if he goes out, he gave it his best shot, and we'll see what happens. But, yeah, the e-bikes, let me give you the drill. We've been living e-bike world here. All right, so here is the very, very latest.
Okay.
If you remember, he worked us essentially for 6 months.
Oh, I remember.
To get one of these deals.
Rob, it is to the point that it is all 12-year-olds talk about. And the different models and the different brands, and one's never good enough.
Once you most important one, thing in the world to them.
Let me offer
once
this.
Once you get one, you're talking about the $5,000 model. That
now, I know that, and that's expensive, but is there any part of you, and I would be this way if I had a 12-year-old still, that they're doing something mechanical and real and not having their face in a screen? I think it's pretty cool that they're learning how to fix stuff.
I think that holds water. I do think that that actually could be a truism.
Yeah.
The problem is that, I'll give it to you straight. We go to the neighbors over the weekend. And over the weekend, we hang out with friends of Michael that he hasn't seen, and we love the mom and dad.
Okay.
Let me see. How do I put this delicately? If we are the Pittsburgh Pirates,
yep,
the family we are visiting is the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Okay.
So
okay.
Not only are they a better family, but they have better hats.
But
they are a better family. They have better. Let's just say.
But is it the husband or the wife that got you sick?
Stop it. Thank you. I didn't want to discuss. I don't think that had anything to do with it.
Yeah, Josh, what's the matter with you?
Excuse me.
Oh, dear. When you burp, do you think sometimes you're going to get a bonus?
The essential difference is they can field any team they want.
Okay.
All right. We are limited in our ability to field the best possible team. That's the best way I want to describe it.
Right. They got Otani in the garage.
And they, they have the Ferrari racing team.
Oh, okay.
That is on the way. Hasn't been delivered yet. But when we arrive, another kid in the same neighborhood who is also on the Ferrari racing team.
Yes.
Has his Ferrari parked in the driveway. And when I look at it and my son is just going bleh, 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 in the back. And then it becomes all-encompassing because he essentially spends the bulk of the weekend there, Saturday and Sunday. It's just, what's the tell? When Michael comes up to me, Dad, let me ask you something. And I hear that, I know, here it comes.
You know what? He is a remarkably smart kid, which he puts you at an immediate disadvantage.
He is super smart.
Have that trouble with Robert, which was great.
There is no off switch. But look what Robert's become. So he should be very proud of
that. Yeah, he's very strong.
My kid could be Jeff Bezos, but we all know he's not that great a guy. Here we go. The obsession with the next level up, and if you know the bike I'm talking about, oh my God, I wish I remember the name. It's like a motorbike.
Is it a Schwinn?
Yeah. It's not a Schwinn.
A Huffy?
Thank you. I remember Schwinns and Huffies.
Sure.
I remember those. I had an orange crate. It's the greatest bike I ever had, and it got stolen too.
I had a Huffy that was sort of the same color as Jim Rockford's car, sort of like a golden orange. It was nice.
And the Rockford Files would have been very timely when you were riding that bike around. Right?
Yeah, I was going to everyone's house saying, reverse. Have you watched it?
I'm trying to think of.
Do you have the issue? I'm blanking on the names as well, but do you have the issue of when you're driving Michael around? And you pass a kid on an e-bike.
Oh, unbelievable.
That's the brand. This is that. This is that. They point out, well, that kid's got this one. That's better than mine. Yeah.
I am telling you that, God, if I could just remember what it was.
And I've got to claim ignorance here. When he says that, what makes the other bikes better?
It's generally.
If it's not just more expensive. Speed, I would think.
It's speed and look. If it looks more like a motorcycle or more like a dirt bike. Than an electric bike.
Well,
that's and then a kid had a there's a second tier one, which it was still too expensive. And I said, Michael, I looked at him and I said, Michael,
yeah,
you got this bike at Christmas time. You have gotten it like you got your other bike. You have torn it apart and modified it. And now you want to get another one. I said, is this cycle? And the one he wants to get is 4 times more expensive.
Yes.
So which is not it's not even a discussion.
I'm hearing about.
So yeah. when you see the gang together, do they basically modify the bikes until they're unusable?
No. Yes. No, they modify the bike.
Got different answers here.
They modify the bike. In my son's case, he modifies the bike where it is not only usable but desirable.
Okay.
So other kids are interested in it.
It's got to make noise. It's got to have the good shocks because they all want to jump off the little curbs and say they're getting air when they're not.
Right.
Now, I know how Michael works, and he's got
a kid would be pissed at me if he knew I forgot the name of the bike he wants.
I've heard the name 1,000 times. I'm sure it's the same name. I've blocked out all e-bike discussion.
You know the one that's like $4,000, right?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I mean, he won't get a car when he's 20 from me worth $4,000.
Now,
because I'll be dead
when he's doing all this stuff. And I know that Michael thinks retail. Does he ever sell it? Does he think about like modifying a bike, upselling it? Okay, good.
I'll tell you the very latest. Yes, Josh, do you have a name?
I think I got it. The Suron.
The Suron. The Suron.
And that's from
all the time.
Is that from Saudi Arabia?
It's China.
Yes, it's from China.
Oh,
it's from China. And they even have the black market Chinese knockoff. We're not taking $1,000 chance. You talk about selling.
Yeah.
Well,
as of yesterday,
yes,
he has sold his e-bike to a classmate.
Did he take a loss? Well, I mean, obviously he
did not.
All profit, no, but I'm talking about overall
profit.
He did not.
Wow.
I mean, so that's got to sort of, if he took a loss, it might have been like $100.
He's
but that's
got to
sort of make you happy, right?
He is telling me that he will not get the Suron. Mm-hmm. He will get the one that's in between his bike and the Suron that is essentially the same cost as his bike, meaning mommy and daddy are not part of the equation here.
Is it the Kia Soul?
Didn't you have a time where you dealt with the Kia Soul for a little bit and you realized it was inadequate for your family's needs?
That the car that they had in the showroom was like a stunt car that wasn't the car I bought because it was so small that I couldn't put a case of water in the trunk unless I turned it this way. And then there was the time we took it on a small road trip. And I think the reason we bought it is Carrie was in love with the fact that they had changing ambient color lights inside the car.
Yes.
Very nice. But after driving to, I believe it was Water Country, USA, I told the kids to get in the car. But Dad can't right now because his legs won't bend that way.
Yeah, I mean, you're too big for it. I'd be
horrible.
Too big for it.
Yeah, it was horrible.
I'm 5'11", and my legs would be, you know, too big for it. So as of yesterday, don't know where – and by the way, the question I asked him when I was taking him to the bus today, I said, Michael, so when is this transaction taking place?
Yes.
By the way, this is being sold to another Yankees team.
Oh, well, of course. Why is a kid going to have money to buy, you know, a secondhand bike?
But why does he have to buy it used?
It's been modified.
And because his father said, do you see what our son has done? He saved us $100.
I don't know. They're not that bad.
That's my point.
We get the angle of, remember, we did not purchase an e-bike. So he has one over his dad's house.
And I
commiserated with that. That's when I betrayed Josh, when Josh was commiserating with me about it was a big betrayal. When Josh was commiserating with me about, and we were both bitching about the e-bike world. And then Josh's, kid went to the ex's house and got one. And I was mucho sympathetic. And then to make matters worse for Josh, I bought my kid one at Christmas
after 2 months of saying that you weren't going to buy one. I mean, and not just to him, to us. Yeah.
Did you see this story in California of the mom getting charged with murder because the middle school kid ran into an old man on an e-bike and killed him?
That's
and they
funny.
Are charging the mom.
You mean the e-bike killed the old man?
Yeah, the e-bike killed the
old
man.
Oh, like the guy, just some old man walking out in the neighborhood?
Some, 81-year-old veteran. Really? And they're charging the mom because the kid was too young to be on the e-bike.
Don't worry about that, Mike. There's no old people in your neighborhood.
I get you these, know what? Hold on a
I get
second.
These stories sent to me all the time by the anti-e-bike coalition.
The anti, yeah, well, look,
everyone
I
loves
I
to
it.
Send stuff that strengthens their anti.
So if Michael was riding fast in our neighborhood and he was to, knock somebody down.
Right.
There's the, how could an e-bike, I suppose you can die on a regular bicycle too, right?
Yeah.
I mean if you knock anyone down, old and if they're old and fragile and you knock them onto like the asphalt.
With a head injury, you can fall off a regular bicycle and buy the farm. I mean, that's just the way that does. I'm just enjoying a brief little fantasy about a particular individual in the neighborhood. No, I'm sorry. That's terrible.
But you know what? It is sad that that happened, and we wish grace and calm to the family of Irv Harrigan.
probably not. He was 50 and when I was 20.
Oh, people like that live forever, Mike.
You think so?
You know what the kid was riding? A Suron Ultra B.
That's probably so like a supercharged thing.
Do they have like the Ben-Hur spikes on the wheels for knocking down old people?
They was doing a wheelie and slammed into the back of the guy.
They have pegs on the, instead of like pedals. Because the pedals, pedaling
do
is,
nothing. Yes.
It's not a motorcycle.
Yeah.
As I watch these three other young, he's got two other buddies that he's usually with. And then he was with two other buddies. And part of me looks at it and goes, in this neighborhood where we've got, different little blocks of neighbors, and he's got the wherewithal to get over there to the other kids that have e-bikes. I like it because it's brought him friends within the neighborhood, sure. Which is great.
There's positives of being out and about.
Yeah,
it, there are positives. That's what he does.
The motor club.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't help but thinking of like the old days when people would try to resurrect a really old car and they're all working at it. I'm sorry that the initial investment is so much, but you can't hate the fact that they're learning something mechanical.
JLP writes, he treats e-bikes like Papa buys his shoes in multiples.
Well, two biggest problems I have is one, these kids think they're invincible. So they're not looking out for cars and they just run out.
All kids and do, then,
yeah. And then the bike is never good enough. So once Michael gets this bike, I give it a week until he's talking about the next one.
I don't know when it's going to end. And, somewhere along the line, I suppose every generation has their expensive things.
What was your generation, do you think?
Mini bike.
Okay.
A mini bike, and then one of the kids in the neighborhood got a dirt bike.
Okay.
Like a real motorcycle.
Was it Chad Ram?
Yes, it was.
Was it?
Yes, it was.
What a dick.
Yep.
Yeah, he's a dick everywhere.
Got what he wanted. Got the. And my dad went so far as to, in the backyard. And I look at it now, and it probably was so tiny.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have a lot of land, but I thought it was the biggest thing in the world. My dad, who loved yard work, cut out a trail around the back part of the yard down by the ledge, which was our house literally
now,
was
when you
underneath
say,
a rock ledge. It was a very unique
could
property.
Could you have taken the bike off the ledge if you didn't handle? Because
no,
I forget, you're at the base
under,
of the ledge.
You go up a little bit of a hill. If you went up all the way, you could get on top of the ledge. But Mr. Mazzocchi lived on
top of the
ledge.
I was going to say, the crazy guy was up there, right?
He lived on top of the ledge.
Nutsy
and
finger.
He was a scientist, at least I was told. And he had like wires and antennae and everything.
Good heavens, Miss Yakamoto, you're beautiful.
And you couldn't see
for the lightning.
You couldn't see his house, but he literally lived on the ledge above us.
Wow.
It was kind of cool. When I look back on it right now and I look on where I lived, I lived in what was called a center chimney cape, and you would walk down, you would come down the driveway, you go down a hill. And we were underneath the ledge, and in an area of the ledge were smoke stains where it goes all the way back to indigenous people that had actually, wow. They did a dig before I was born. They did a dig there to find arrowheads and axe heads and that type of stuff.
But only thing they found were mini bikes.
But the trail was cool.
Yeah,
and
that is cool.
I remember that was a big, but it was, the best moment I ever had. I went into a store. Does anybody remember? No, you're not going
to
remember. No, nobody will know this.
Well,
if there's anybody in the chat group, let me know. It was called Zaire.
Of course.
Z-A-Y-R-E. You remember it?
Yeah, it was on Columbia Pike, I think, here.
You had Zaire down here. Okay, yeah, I didn't know, down in the D.C. area. Yeah. I didn't know.
It was one of those places that when you walked into, it smelled like popcorn and soap.
And you walk in, and they had a bargain bin.
Oh, good job,
Josh. There's Zaire. That looks like the front of Zaire.
Yeah.
And I went into Zaire, and you know what I found?
What?
I found an Easy Rider-style motorcycle helmet, like the one Peter Fonda wore. I believe it was Peter Fonda who wore it in Easy Rider.
Was it the star with the stripes?
It was the American flag motorcycle helmet.
Yeah.
And I found it. And it was $5. It had a red sticker, one of those like fluorescent orange stickers on it.
Yeah,
I know it had to be put there in era. I got it for $5.
That's great.
It was weird. It was absolutely
strange.
You don't
still have it, do you?
I had it for a long time.
I would love to do
a
show
in helmets.
Wouldn't
fit my little head. Right. What's that?
I would love to do a show in helmets because I have a helmet. It's an extra large one.
I've got a bike helmet out in the garage.
Josh, any helmets for you, or do you just rely on the hair product?
No, I'm sure I have helmets in the garage.
Mike, I'm sorry. Are you okay?
Oh, not the entire face.
Okay.
When you do that, it makes everybody take pause.
Oh, my. So Zaire was a big thing in the D.C. area, too.
Yeah.
I realize that now.
Kmart bought him out, or not bought him out, but chased him out of town with better deals.
So if the kid is going to have the initiative to,
Zaire became TJ Maxx.
Really?
Yeah. It's the parent company of Zaire was TJX.
Very cool.
That is cool. So there's still a little Zaire in our lives.
That's the box stores.
Yeah.
I mean, the retail.
They also own BJ's.
The wholesale club?
Yeah.
Not the restaurant.
No, the wholesale club.
And by the way, what's the deal with that, right? Do you have those restaurants up there called BJ's, too, in your area?
No, we don't have BJ's.
I know. There's one in Sabrina Park, Maryland.
Yeah,
I know
there's
that.
One in the there are BJ's in the area.
Does it?
It's got to be how many square miles? What is the radius for you to know whether something exists or not? Right.
Mike,
what is it?
Keep in mind,
it expanded a little bit lately.
Keep in mind, I did just note that Zaire was in Falls Church, so I mean that's 40 miles, so that's not bad. I've not seen a BJ's. What kind of food do they? I've
there
seen the BJ's club.
Okay, here we go. Tell me if this is in your radius or not. The BJ's I remember was in Gainesville, Virginia.
Well, no, that's your radius. I wouldn't go to Gainesville.
Like there is one in Rob's radius in Vienna.
There it is.
Yeah, but I hate that city.
Somebody says 5 miles. That's it. JLP's on it today. He's making me laugh.
What kind of a fare does BJ's offer? Is it American fare?
It's a sports bar.
Okay. All right.
Barrister 8 says, I get my BJ's in Bowie, then I go shopping. Bada
bing. That's just disgusting.
So the deal is, if he's going to show the entrepreneurship where he can upgrade to an extent, and it's not the Suron, but he's upgrading to the next, the one in between that has a closer price point to his, I'm cool with it. I saw the one he's getting.
Oh, you've already committed yourself to it?
No. I just saw another kid, one of his gang members.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
The was one on the little thing. And he's a good kid.
Does he have any money socked away from the squishy sales?
Maybe. He might. He might very well have that.
Sounds to me he's one Pokemon card away from getting a bike.
We can only hope.
Yeah.
We can only hope whether
Godspeed, little godson.
So, yeah. But then he'll say, Dad, I was in science class and I saw the grade sheet and he's at the top of the list with a 98 average in science.
Oh. Yeah, but that's his job. That should be expected. That shouldn't be rewarded.
Was it expected for you?
Mike, yes, it was. And I never got anything except loneliness and a broken home.
Oh, wow. That's sad. That's very sad.
Yeah.
I don't know if my parents had those expectations for me based on my track record.
They were just happy when you got home before the streetlights were on.
This is true. My son has, in sixth grade, soon to be going into seventh, he has already academically lapped me.
Yeah.
I believe his average will, in order for me to match him, he would have to flunk out for the next 3 years.
And still it would be close.
I always tell my kids, school is easier now than it was when I was a kid.
Do you think it is? Do you really legitimately think it is?
I think it is because of CORE and how they've brought it down so that everyone is at the same level.
I don't know enough about academics to have a legitimate
opinion. Well, I don't know if it's true or not.
The county schools teach to the test. So when you take your CORE test to see how you're doing, it doesn't matter about the stuff that surrounds it. If your school tests well, you're going to get your funding.
And
so they
Florida,
don't teach it in like real ways. They teach it very specific.
All right, I'm going to play.
To those fast tests because the fast tests affects the teacher's salary.
All right, since you two are poo-pooing the current educational system, I'm going to play a game.
Great.
I'm going to have my son come in here. Because summer's just around the corner, when
right?
He gets out of school, and I will have him. Maybe he can even grab some of the tests that he has. Don't they give them all back at the end of the year? Right? They give you all your test results. Yeah,
they sell
like
them
that.
On the dark web,
and I'm sure you can find them on like the Parent Square. Or
yeah, of course.
And maybe we have a little test session to see just
fun.
How easy it is.
Okay. Also, are you smarter than a sixth grader?
Smarter than a sixth grader?
I've got to ask you this, Mike. When you were in school, did they ever say that, don't worry if you don't do well on this test because there will be retakes? And they say that before the test.
Right.
And I think what it is you can retake and then average the two scores. This was never offered to me.
No. Mm-hmm. And my kids get to retake with the old test in front of them. So they know what they did wrong.
Well, that's like, that then it
course,
becomes
my
an extra
kids, thing. You know, do go to the goal. My son goes. Does go to the Gold Brick Charter Academy. So I'm not sure.
I wasn't going to bring it up. But
you have
different.
To. You know, you have to acknowledge that.
I feel a little bit for the kids now because I would hide my grades from my dad because if it wasn't an A, I'd get in trouble. Now,
would you really?
Now parents can just go online and see their grades every single day.
And since Chad Dukes impugns your intelligence all the time, let me ask this question. When you brought your grades, how often did they not meet the straight A expectations, Josh? Just out of curiosity.
100% of the time.
There it is. But you did well on Chad's IQ test, right?
Yeah.
I did.
You came in third?
I got a 124. I had a NASA scientist ahead of me. And then... Jim Jester, which makes no sense.
That has to feel good.
Who is Jim Jester? Since I don't know the man, I have not kept up on the...
Is he the executive producer of the show?
He's one of Chad's producers. He's been around forever.
All right, Jim Jester.
You crossed his path at WJFK a million years ago. No reason that you would know him, but
how many? You said you came in third. How many people were tested? Three?
12.
12. All right. 12 is
so there's a lot of people I can say I'm better than.
Yeah.
And
you do all the time.
And the score of 124 did come across as highly intelligent.
Yeah.
Above average.
There you go.
It was a good score.
I don't know if I'd score that highly. I don't know whether I would. Based on we're meeting with our financial advisor today. So based on that, I fully expect to walk out and say, Mr. O'Mara. 83 IQ. Thanks for joining
us. Does your financial advisor offer IQ tests?
No, what he also doesn't offer is a way to borrow money, which is what we're looking to do right now.
Yeah, it's that's great. Josh has got an IQ of 124, and that's how much you owe, 124.
I saw this video said rich people don't just take their money out, they borrow it. They don't have to pay taxes.
I know this, Mike.
If
you were to start today and put $20 into this company, you'll be a millionaire in 2 weeks.
That's right.
Is there anything you can sell to the Yankee neighbors?
Oh, good idea.
No, but there's a lot we could sell. Like, for example, for the longest amount. Well, I can ask you guys this, because you're active selling stuff. And we've got Mr. Entrepreneur on the right. And Rob sold a lot of, you've sold more stuff than just microphones over the years, right?
Yeah.
You've sold a lot of stuff. I got me this big screen TV that I,
took from the neighbors?
No. TVs are too
won't
cheap
make you
now
any money.
Because you can go and get a brand new one for any. If you got enough money to make it worthwhile, they could use that same money to buy a brand new TV.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Whenever I
I'm trying
TVs
to think, you don't
online,
have a lot. I'm sorry, Josh.
Well, TVs on Facebook Marketplace, you have to assume are stolen because it makes no sense to sell a TV.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, that answers that question.
I'm thinking about your house. You don't have a lot of stuff to sell. Your house is pretty lean.
I don't. We don't have a lot of stuff. Huh? Yeah.
Just pictures of yourself.
Autograph pictures.
You got those great feet.
Oh, my God, the feet. Oh, yes.
By the way, I'm wearing my UFOs right now, and I would not show my feet on camera.
There's the ugliest shoes possible.
I would not show my feet on camera. I have to go to, Paula Petty. That's what I have to do
I
today.
Think there's certain people that are into your feet when they are in their roughest form.
Oh, not at all. I'm looking at
you're
them
going
right
to like your grizzlyadamsfeet.com.
Yeah,
that'll
poke your eye out.
All right.
There you go. We'll take a break.
Dan Haggerty.
We got some news later. Josh and Rob are going to talk to author Chip Layton, author of Dad, Can You Not? A Dad's Guide to Being Less Cringy.
Yes.
I look forward to that. And coming up, we've got tidbits. Lovely little tidbits. But first, let's do this. We'll continue on the Mike O'Malley.
Here's a quick message from today's sponsor, the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. If you've ever owned a pet, you know they run on their own logic. Jump first, think later. Ask questions, never. I've got dogs, so I know this is true. It's part of what makes them so lovable. But it's also how you end up with those surprise vet visits you didn't see coming. ASPCA Pet Health Insurance helps cover eligible vet expenses. So when those moments happen, you can focus on getting them the care they need without overthinking the cost or second-guessing your decision. When you enroll in an ASPCA Pet Health Insurance plan, you could even get a $25 Amazon gift card. It's a little treat for you while you're doing something great for your pet. The program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier to get your pet the care they may need. Who's a good boy? You are. If you enroll in the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Plan, it's been around for almost 20 years and has covered nearly 1 million pets in that time. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/TMOS. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/TMOS. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit aspcapetinsurance.com/Amazon. Terms for more info. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
How do they do with insurance when your dogs like perform an MMA match every night?
Not good.
Stubby and Winslow are starting to go at it like they want to kill each other.
I did call the ASPCA and they've offered me a loan. So, Mike, maybe you want to reach out for them.
I'll get right on it. Play the thing, please. Thank you. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, most slang disappears fast. Think about how many words sounded trendy for a couple of months and then vanished.
Yes.
But according to a linguist, God, I love the linguists, on the PBS series Other Worlds, excuse me.
Do you look at that program?
Oh, my.
Uh-oh.
No.
Are you tasting breakfast?
No, I just, it's...
It's not right.
You know? Maybe to hit a commercial button.
No. I am not in that. No. It's been 10 hours.
It's been 10 hours
since I booted. Then vanished forever. But according to a linguist on the PBS series Other Worlds, one word has stood the test of time.
Mm-hmm. I would say it would have to be...
There's one word that is through all the incarnations of slang, and it'll make perfect sense when you hear it. That's
nifty?
Nifty is not, but it could be a synonym for nifty.
Oh, it's got to be cool.
Cool!
Yeah.
Rob
yeah,
Spirak,
of course.
Yes,
like Fonzie.
I always check like Rob Sources' material. What's that, buddy?
Didn't we say, today on the interview... We talk about how the kids have all this new slang, but cool still works.
Yeah, it does come up, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, so it's going to be redundant. She says cool has been popular for more than a century, which is pretty impressive for slang.
Woodrow Wilson used it all the time.
Part of the reason is how flexible it is. Cool can describe somebody laid back or stylish or impressive or just likable. You can say cool it or ask, are we cool? Or even eat some cool ranch Doritos. The linguist says that very few slang words can adapt that well across generations. Somehow your grandparents, your parents, and your kids all agree on at least one thing. The word cool is still cool. Which is fascinating.
I can remember one from my teen years or early teen years that just sounds so stupid now is if someone had something that was cool, you say, oh, that's decent.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds so stupid.
We used to have one that we would say if somebody would come back from like a hot date in high school, we'd say, did you get bald?
And that's not B-A-L-D.
I'm sorry. That well,
also, I mean, in a different sense, you could use ball as a verb, too. Did you ball her? Or did she ball you? Yeah.
Actually, that's probably the more common usage.
But I like your usage better.
I could go into the deep. Maybe confusing. On the bonus show. Maybe on the bonus show, I'll tell the story
linguists.
About how that was explained to me by an older kid in the neighborhood, and then hilarity ensued behind my back, much like Albert Brooks buying the car. Anyway, Kellogg's is bringing back toys inside of cereal boxes.
Marital toys?
No, stop it. The first run is already in stores, so you may have noticed them if you've been down the cereal aisle this week. We aren't. Since the weight loss thing has begun, we've eliminated cereal from the house.
Well, it's too expensive anyway. Cereal's too expensive.
Kids who plow through cereal will notice this. It's a nostalgia thing, but it's also tied to the movie Toy Story 5.
Oh, you know what? Cyanide tablet, please, right now.
The toys are in special boxes of a lot of cereals, including Fruit Loops, Frosted Flakes, Corn Pops, Apple Jacks, Frosted Mini Wheats, Rice Krispies, Corn Flakes and Cocoa Krispies. And by the way, I mentioned all those. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Of 9 of the cereals I mentioned, there are only 2 that I don't like.
All right. Which ones don't you like? I thought they were all pretty good.
Yeah. All right. Fruit Loops, Frosted Flakes, Corn Pops, Apple Jacks, Frosted Mini Wheats, Rice Krispies, Corn Flakes, and Cocoa Krispies.
Okay, Cocoa Krispies would be one you don't like, right?
Wrong.
Okay. You like Rice Krispies. Corn Flakes are... Really? Why not?
Right. Because there's no sugar.
But you can add it.
I don't want to.
What about if you were to add melted marshmallow and butter and let them harden and cut into squares?
Now, that's a totally different animal. That's a Rice Krispie treat. I love them.
Yeah, I could eat a pan.
Absolutely love them. Absolutely. And Corn Flakes are the other ones. I always like to...
Flakes are good with banana, though.
No, but I like my flakes with a little sprinkling of sugar dust on them. This is the first time Kellogg's has put toys in cereal in more than a decade. And for now, it sounds like it's just a limited time thing. But who knows? If it's a big success, maybe they'll keep it going.
Putting them in the cereal or just inside the box?
They are putting them inside the cereal box in a box.
I prefer them mixed in the cereal versus ones where it'd be on the outside of the plastic.
I think it might be a box in a box.
When you were kids, did you ever like get cereal and come home and like pour it in a huge bowl to get the toy and then pour the cereal back in the box?
Rob Spiewak doesn't eat his cereal, spends the night in the box. Any man that can't find the right toy spends a night in the box.
When will we get a story about Tom Hanks doing something cute with cereal now?
Okay. Remember he said that he's good at that. Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. I believe the movie comes out in June.
They've got plenty of time.
Stories in the next month.
All right, we'll have to wait and see what happens. The Rolling Stones announced their 25th album, Foreign Tongues. Have you gotten any previews of this? Have you
heard the first single? It sounds like they're not trying very hard.
Okay.
The thing to me, and I'm a Stones fan, I've seen them in concert 5-6 times, have their entire catalog on vinyl and CD. But the Rolling Stones stopped being the Rolling Stones when Charlie Watts died. I'm sorry. That's what it is for me.
Foreign Tongues includes their late drummer Charlie Watts on one of the final recording sessions before he passed in 2021.
It was while he passed, actually.
No, I mean in 2021 they recorded. So I guess you got to look for the one that Charlie's on.
This is like when the Monkees put out an album.
Your whore is on the album.
Who? Paul?
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have all the money yet. He wants all the money.
The album will include features from Paul McCartney, Steve Winwood, The Cure's Robert Smith, and Red Hot Chili Peppers drummer Chad Smith, another great whore.
Wow, you can't have a Rolling Stones album without Steve Winwood. That's like a funeral without a sousaphone.
Foreign Tongues comes out July 10th. So far,
oh, yeah!
they've released two singles, Rough and Twisted, and In the Stars, Rough and Twisted was initially released only on vinyl under the band name The Cockroaches. The Stones will each be taking their turn on The Tonight Show, starring Jimmy Fallon. I think they'll do the little baby, baby Stones thing.
That Cockroaches bit they did with the vinyl, that song's on the new album?
Is if it you is,
you brought it to the show. You played it,
but
didn't
you? Did you just say it? Did you just say that song is on the new album?
It'll Rough be on and the new Twisted, album. Yeah.
Initially released under the name The Cockroaches.
Yeah,
that's stupid. So that was all marketing last time. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they go on the Tonight Show. Mick Jagger will be on tonight. Keith Richards on tomorrow, and Ronnie Wood will be on. I'm sorry. This was an old story. So he's the last one is tonight. Ronnie Wood, you missed.
You didn't miss much. No. You know what I understand, Mike, is that there are rats on the west side.
Bedbugs uptown, and look at me. I'm in tatters.
Look, you're shattered.
The AMC theater chain. I'm sorry. I'm the messenger. I don't want to get any heat for these stories because they depress me as well.
Yeah.
So be aware of that. The AMC theater chain is going to start showing live concerts.
What?
Anyone?
This is like 1970 when they used to put boxing matches in movie theaters. This is so backward.
Well, I've seen the ads where they're doing ballet and theater performances, so it seems like the next thing.
Well, they've renamed it, so you know it's got to be good.
What
the new
it?
Venture is called Arena One at AMC. The tickets will range from $40 to $75, and it starts next month. Is it BB Rexha? Did I pronounce that correctly? Or is it Bebe Rexha?
I have no idea.
No one knows. No. But now you two have aged out as well.
Wait, but $40 to $70, and you're just watching this on the screen, right?
Correct.
The concert's not in the room with
correct.
You.
That's what you should be paying for the concert.
Can you look up a picture?
The entire music industry screwed up.
Can you find me a picture of Bebe Rexha, BB Rexha? She will be doing a show on June 17th. That appears to be the earliest show that's going to be at this new Arena One at AMC for $40 to $75.
Long range prediction is that before we hit the 4th of July, the Rolling Stones will announce you can see them in a theater.
Okay.
Because that'll be the easiest way for them to get all the money.
No, they can't do that because they need people to come to the concert. So then next year they can release the video.
All right. I get it.
Maybe you're right.
And here she is.
Okay, let's see, BB. Who?
Oh, yeah.
You might need the big screen.
Yeah. I'll see you at the snack bar.
Following BB, it's Paris Hilton on the 18th, June 18th, like two nights in a row.
Yeah, Rob's a fan.
I am.
Of Paris Hilton?
I have her new album. I got it signed.
Where'd you get it signed?
Through parishilton.com.
He ordered it that way.
She's very pretty. Don't you think she's pretty? I'm not going to say the K word.
You're so gross. Maren Morris on June 20th. Who's Maren Morris? Anybody know Maren Morris?
No, I don't.
No.
Okay. More shows will be announced soon. The concerts will be beamed to more than 300 AMC locations.
Beamed.
This is the end of the world.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I can't help but feel that way. It's like, come on, entertain us, please.
And at the same time, they're canceling concerts because their ticket sales are down.
Oh, yeah. What's the name of that trend? The
Blue Dot Fever.
Yeah.
Is a lot of musicians have Blue Dot Fever.
But stadium tours are being cut, Mike. It's amazing. Yeah, and the Pussycat Dolls scrapped the whole tour.
Pussycat Dolls canceled the whole thing. Post Malone and Jelly Roll canceled the first month of their tour.
Wow, that's scary.
Don't you wish your concert was canceled like mine?
There is a strange new breakup trend making headlines overseas. A growing number of people in China are using an AI program called X.Skill to build digital versions of their former partners. Users upload things like old text, pictures, voice notes, and social media posts. The AI then recreates an ex's personality, speech patterns, and shared memories. The creators say it's meant for personal reflection and emotional healing. Oh, my God.
That's not what it's meant for.
not stalking or harassment, of course.
No.
Critics are worried it could create a major privacy issue, especially since someone's personal data could be used without their permission. Still, some users say AI versions actually help them move on.
Yeah.
Here's how you move on.
Does it have to be an X?
Can I tell you how you move on? You move on. Who would it be, in your opinion?
Well, I would. I mean, people.
No, hold on. I'm asking Josh.
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
All right.
You know,
just to
spend enough time with your wife.
I was going to say, don't you think you could, for example, there's enough Paris Hilton out there. You could build yourself a virtual Paris Hilton.
Rob, that's disgusting. Could you build yourself a virtual Carrie?
Why would I?
That's what Josh was getting at.
Well, I guess they need shared memories.
No, yeah, I don't think so. And I delete all her texts immediately.
Well, but you guys could build virtual AI creations of each other that would be nicer to each other.
Okay.
No, I guess there's no interest there. Sorry. I thought it would be interesting.
Well, no, actually, could we use it so we don't have to roll a best of next time?
Oh, virtual us.
Virtual Mike.
Yeah.
You know what? As much as I said, never, not on my day. Who gives a rat's ass? I don't care. Here is an etiquette.
By the way, when they build the virtual mic, there's going to be a lot of people pleasuring themselves to it.
I'm coming off of brief illness. Here is an etiquette question
for
the young men out there. If you're driving if you're driving your girlfriend and your mother somewhere, who is seated in the front seat. Let me start again.
Okay.
I've had a little difficulty with this story.
You're doing
because
great.
It's not exactly written properly, all right?
Okay.
Here's an etiquette question for the young men out there. If you're driving your girlfriend and your mother somewhere, who's sitting in the front seat?
Well, if you can change it to wife instead of girlfriend.
Well, I think that's totally different. I think this is a girlfriend thing. Maybe you have a dynamic where both your girl and your mom try to give the other the front seat, but sometimes the opposite happens. There's a viral video where a guy's girlfriend takes the front seat and closes the door. The mother walks up and says, "I'm not sitting in the back seat. You need to get out." Well, that's the mother being an a-hole,
in my opinion, right?
Yeah. The easy answer is let mom drive.
And then the girl...
Oh, good play.
And then the boyfriend and girlfriend get in the back seat and start doing
it. Right,
exactly. Yeah, no, just it's making out. Yeah.
The girl refuses to get out in the viral video, but the mom doesn't back down. The guy tries to calm everyone down, but eventually the girl storms out, says she's not going, and goes to get into her own car. The internet is torn. Some say that the mother was out of line.
She was.
For demanding that the girlfriend move. Others say elders get priority on the front seat. No.
You know who gets priority on the front seat? The tallest person. So if we go somewhere, Robert gets the front seat because he's
tallest. That's a fatty cop out. That's a fatty McFatty cop out. The biggest.
I'm driving, so I'm already up there. I mean, of course I'm fat.
But you were given shotgun all your life because you are a big man. Right?
Not always.
You assumed it, though, didn't
you? But I come from a family of tall people. I'm short for a Spiewak, so I don't always get that. So the tallest gets the front seat, and then my mom actually prefers the rear seat because she can get into a car easier from the driver's side. And then, you know, Carrie doesn't come because she's not interested.
Your mom gets the rear seat not for any other reason than your mom is a nice person.
No, you could see her getting into a car from the left or the right, and she has an easier time getting in on the driver's side. It's for true.
Your mom, I'm going to reiterate, Sharon is just nice. I don't care how big you are. I know Sharon is average height for a woman.
Well, she's actually a little below, I think.
I'm simply saying your mom is a very cool lady.
Well, she is.
Because getting behind the driver's seat is a pain in the ass.
It is.
I would urge you to ask her and say, be completely honest with me. And you just have assumed, oh, my mom. I can hear you saying it. Oh, my mom likes that seat.
Well, she volunteers it. I mean, I'm not trying to...
She volunteers it because she's nice.
Okay, I'm not saying that's not part of it, but I'm saying also...
Or it's because of how you park the car. So it's harder to get into the other side.
I'm a great parker.
Let me, you listen, Mr. Man.
Okay.
You have to appreciate your mother and know that she does that because she's super cool. Sharon, thumbs up to you. And
right.
She's never going to admit to it now, either. She's going to say, no, it's what I prefer.
Well, I love her very much, but I also think it's true.
I will say my mother-in-law gets in the back seat as well.
That's very sweet.
Yeah.
That's very kind.
My mother-in-law got in the third row.
My mom and all the women in the O'Mara family sit where they're comfortable, which is strapped on top of the roof of the moving
the carrier.
Vehicle. Like Anna.
Yeah, Anna. Exactly.
Finally, today, a 58-year-old drunk woman in Washington State named Wendy Clemente.
Hey, her name almost rhymes.
And I almost did a poem, but Clemente was a little bit challenging.
Yeah, I mean, you can't force it.
Wendy Clemente is muy caliente.
Stop it. Now you're creepy.
She was caught on video driving down a sidewalk chasing a kid on a bike. They call it a motorized bike in this story because they don't know that kids like e-bikes. It's an e-bike that she's chasing.
Okay.
It's unclear why. The video starts with her cruising down a street, blaring her horn before turning toward the sidewalk and gunning it after the kid. It doesn't seem like the child was instigating her at all. Not that it matters. The kid was on an e-bike. It says motorized. By the way, that's what Karens call e-bikes, motorized bikes.
Yeah.
It's a good thing if they were pedaling, Wendy would have run them over. The police tracked Wendy down, and she said, this is her quote, she took her dog for a ride and was, quote, looking for other dogs to socialize with.
Oh, boy.
Fine. She denied knowing anything about the incident with the kid on the bike, including driving on the sidewalk. Not surprisingly, police say she was under the influence of something.
What?
She was arrested. What are the odds it was a dog that fit under her arm?
Yep.
I'm going to say about 100%.
Quite likely. She's not good at driving. She prefers to sit in the back seat.
Wendy Clemente has a big bad temperament. Wendy Clemente has a bad temperament.
Yes.
And an evil sente.
Oh, yeah. Now you're getting personal.
We got to take a break. Now, listen, coming up next, after I tell you about these wonderful Omaha steaks, that's when you want me to do it, right? Right now?
Yes.
You want me to tell you about Omaha steaks? We're going to have a great little segment with Rob and Mr. Josh Soroka talking to author Chip Layton. But before that, I have to tell you, did it again over the weekend. This is before I purchased food that might have made me a little ill. These were the greatest burgers in the world.
Yes.
I am famous for my breakfast hamburgers.
That's your angle, man.
If you enjoy these Omaha Steaks breakfast hamburgers, they're not really called breakfast hamburgers, okay? They're not.
Because you can eat them any time of day.
I love the burgers, and they're fantastic. And burgers aren't just for lunch or dinner anymore, especially when they're from Omaha Steaks Burger Perfection Pack.
Oh, so
the Burger Perfection Pack has an incredible deal, and it's just $9.99. This exclusive package includes 20 of the most delicious mouthwatering steak burgers you could ever eat. 4 of each of their finest burgers, pure ground filet mignon, New York strip, ribeye, brisket, and sirloin. They're only available at omahasteaks.com. They have an incredible texture. It feels homemade. So juicy.
Listen to me. Anyone who loves a burger, I had never had a brisket burger before. It's game-changing. The flavor is unreal. And it's Bun Buster.
6-ounce size guaranteed to satisfy Bun Busters. Plus, you get an additional 8 free Wagyu Smash Burgers with the pack. That is 28 burgers total. Remember, Omaha Steaks is America's original butcher offering hand-selected beef from the American heartland. In the O'Mara household tonight, we will be enjoying the sirloin fillets.
So good.
Yummy, yummy, yummy. Impress your next dinner party or family cookout with exclusive products not available at grocery stores. The beef is quality. You're going to love it. We 100%. Love it.
Oh.
Get ready for grilling season with the mouthwatering Omaha Steaks Burger Perfection Pack plus 8 free Wagyu Smash Burgers for just $99.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and as a bonus, use promo code Mike to get $35 off your order. That's $35 off with promo code Mike. Mike, 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 Mike. Terms apply. See site for details. And now, Josh and Rob with author Chip Layton. Take it away, fellers.
With the good sounds of George Michael behind us, this, for me, almost counts as a current record, Josh.
Every time you play music, every time we have a guest or some type of segment, I try to figure out why did you pick out this song.
Well, it's father figure.
Well, see, perfect. I don't know that this song's before I was born.
It is, but it's
before
I
was a dad.
It's not like Elvis or anything. I mean, it's not like ancient history for you. We're not playing Glenn Miller. It's George Michael. Welcome, everybody, to this segment of the Josh and Rob Show. We are joined today. This is exciting. Joining us today is a guy who has absolutely taken over the internet with some of the funniest parenting content you'll find anywhere. You've probably seen his viral TikTok videos where he perfectly captures the daily chaos, confusion, and comedy of being a dad in today's world. He's turned it all into a brand new book, Dad, Can You Not? Which I think is great because even the title is spoken like a teenager. We all have a copy for the contest later. No, I'm kidding. It's basically required reading if you've ever been embarrassed by, if you've ever embarrassed your kids. Now, everyone has been embarrassed by their kids, but if you can embarrass your kids, that's next level. Or been embarrassed by your dad. So thank you so much. We are excited to have him here on the show. Chip Layton, thank you so much for taking the time. We love it.
Well, thanks for having me. Looking forward to it. Yeah.
Now, I have to ask, I'm guessing that you are about my age. I know you're, I can't ask a lady guest her age, but I can guess you your age. How old are you?
54.
Okay, I just turned 55, so we're probably in a similar situation. What is your kid disbursement as far as...
I've got two kids. I've got an 18-year-old and a 22-year-old, so one's in college, one's in high school, so yeah, I'm down to one teenager.
Okay, that's good. Good for you. You've kept them alive this long. I also have two, 25 and 23.
All right.
But was weird because as they were making the teenager transition, it was during COVID, so it intensified all sarcasm and snark. I think. I think it really did. And Josh, you have four kids.
I got four kids right now. Two 12-year-olds. 11 or 12. And a 21, 19 and 21, I think.
So a good spread there.
Oh, yeah.
So we all have kids. I want to start, if I may, by playing one of your TikTok videos because they're out there and this is funny. It's you're going to hear the ABBA music. So I'll just read what is in the book, if that's cool, that pops up on the screen for our audio listeners. More of your teenager texts. It says, my bus crashed, but we're in a ditch, so it's chill. By the way, there were two nails on the driveway behind your car. Hopefully you didn't drive over them. Is jury duty those people dressed in orange picking up trash on the side of the road? I have the WW1s for my taxes. Can you come to our protest? We need more old people. Ouch. What's my print name? That's great. We are going to see a hairless cat, then spray tan, and then I'll be home. What? I opened a PayPal account. I knew you wouldn't give me your social security number, so my friend let me borrow his mom's. My professor said to invest in a Roth IRA, but I don't know who that is. Bruh, filling my tank was $50, took out like half my net worth. Tough being a kid these days, all these things to deal with, especially if you've never met Roth IRA. Now,
right.
I have to ask, your whole book is about things that parents have done to make a cringy situation for their kids. Now, do you ever embarrass your kids on purpose, or does it just come naturally?
I think it comes naturally, like it does to most dads.
Yeah.
Pretty good at leaning into it. I don't have to try. I'm obviously cringier than the normal dad because I'm like viral on social media.
They gotta hate the fact that you're on the social media, right?
Right. Yeah. No, it's
because we belong only on Facebook and maybe not even that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. That's my advice to parents is like, just if you're going to like post pictures of your kids or something like that, just do it on Facebook where they'll never see it.
They'll never see it. Exactly. I've learned from experience. Don't talk about your kids on a podcast. They get sore about that. So, yeah, maybe best to just leave them alone. Sometimes
pick and choose. Maybe not tough subjects.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's now, also with your kids being older. They've got to be at the age where they just roll their eyes and tell you later on. It's not like my kids being 12. My 12-year-old yells at me all the time to just stop.
Yeah.
I feel like the older kids don't. They just roll the eye and move. That's dad.
Do you ever get a stamp of the foot and then an exit of the room, Josh? I used to get that a lot.
Yes, I get that.
That happens a lot.
Just be quiet.
Yeah. See, here's where it gets complicated. I have always always tried to embarrass my kids. And I think it comes from being, I'm an only child, but there were eight brothers and sisters of my mom that almost reached me. So I was like the ninth kid. And so there's a lot of teasing going on with your contemporaries, but not with parents. But I brought that down. Here are some examples of things that I did not only once, but continually, that always made kids cringe. And I want to know if you can comment on them. We would have an award ceremony at the every time report cards came out. And if you got like a B plus or better, you got a pin, right? And because there was 1,000 billion kids there, every kid got one clap. So it would go like Josh Schroka, Rob Spiewak, Chris Layton. And that was the but when my kids would go, I would scream as loud as I could. Just to go above and beyond. And Carrie, my wife, noticed that after three or four quarters of this, my son would leave the auditorium rather than be there when I screamed for his sister. He didn't even want to be there. So I, but in a way, it was me showing pride, but they hated it. Now, I don't know if they would appreciate that as they got. Have you ever seen any experiences like that?
Yeah, no, that's actually very common. Like, I've seen like so many funny teenager text messages about this that are like, you know, basically trying to stem that off. Like, hey, you can come to the swim meet, but don't cheer, just sit there, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, I got that at my son's basketball too. And I should mention, you had a previous book that was all texts, right?
Yeah. So my first book, What Time Is Noon, was almost all like funny teenager texts. And there's tons of texts in this book as well. But yeah, I see stuff like somebody sent me one the other day. It was like, don't be the last one clapping, you know, so you can't stand out in that way. So it's, you are typical. I do think like, you know, sometime in the future, like your kids will look back on that and be like, oh, that was a kind of a cool thing he did. And I do hear that from some kids when I do some of like the dad related content on social media, like that, you know, people who are older are like, oh, I should probably call my dad and apologize for some of the stuff I did.
Yeah. I will never say that I've been blessed with wisdom. Never. But I will say that I think somewhere down the road, they will appreciate that.
And I'll say for middle schoolers right now, my favorite way to embarrass them is trying to use their slang.
That's fun. That's shorthand. Fun.
It's just fun because, you know, it's just going to annoy them.
Yeah. They hate it. And I always seem to be about 9 days late on it.
I did like a glossary or like a glossary of different teen slang in my first book, and I'm like, I know this is gonna be completely wrong, you know, a week from now, but what the heck. But you can't be talking about your riz or whatever else.
I stick with the word cool. It was good in 1950 and it's good now. We're talking to Chip Layton, the author of Dad Can You Not, A Dad's Guide to Being Less Cringy. My daughter used to, and I don't drive around anymore, so I don't get to do this anymore. She used to hate when I beeped the horn.
Oh, yeah.
And when I found that out, I started beeping it even when I didn't need to do it. Because, dad. So, but maybe the most heinous thing I did with both my kids growing up is whenever they had a friend over, and they did, they, unlike their father, had friends, the kids would come over, and I would make the friend come over and talk to me. I'd make them make eye contact. I'd ask them questions. I mean, and not just small talk. I'd say like, so what are you studying in school? And all they want to do is to get to the PlayStation, and I'm the guy that's stopping them.
Right.
That could be the cringiest thing I've ever done. Do you have anything that equals that?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's definitely a common theme I see a lot. Like you see it also with like when, if you ever have to drive your friend's kid somewhere in the car, so
there's
all kind of ground rules. Like, don't, one kid was like, mom, if my friends are in the backseat, don't check your blind spot. They might think you're looking at them. You know, so you didn't make eye contact. So that is sadly a typical dynamic, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. It happens.
Now, Rob, I'll tell you, you should get a dash cam because I learned that means it takes a picture every time you honk the horn. So you get to get the kid's reaction.
Oh my God, that's great.
So it's a nice added feature. Chip, how did you become like the cringe dad guy?
Yeah, how did you land there?
How did you go down this path?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, so a few years ago, I think it was actually like 5 years ago, I started posting some stuff on TikTok that I thought might be funny just because I thought it was a cool platform. And the stuff I did early on didn't really work, but eventually I posted some stuff about marriage and then these like funny teenager texts from my teenagers, and it kind of caught on. I realized like, oh, people want to, I should just post about my own life, and there's plenty of people that can kind of relate to it and laugh at it. And it's and then it eventually became this huge platform where people from all over like send me their teenager text messages, and I feature those. And it's just been a wild kind of ride. I came out with like,
it's so amazingly relatable, because everyone today, you know, you hold off as long as you can to give your kid a phone, and then it's off to the races, and you're in the rear view, you're in the blind spot, like you mentioned before. We're no longer part of that essence of their life. And everyone can relate to it. Now, you've got two books. Your first book was New York Times bestseller. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Before you wrote the first book, were you writing or what were you doing?
No, I worked in the corporate world for like 25 years, and I started this TikTok thing, and I did it for a couple of years. And then eventually I was like, oh, I want to write this book and do some other things. And so I made the decision to leave the day job. And so now I do this and kind of related stuff full time. So it's been this like cool, just second chapter in my 50s, and a little bit weird, you know, like a little bit cringy, I guess. But
yeah, was it a cold water splash to leave the corporate world and become an author? Did you have a lot of stuff to learn fast, or did it come easy to you? Not just the writing, but the production of the book.
Yeah, I mean, everything's been new. So the social media stuff, the book,
right?
You know, I've done some like live performance kind of stuff, and it's all new, and it's a cool adventure, and it's been good. But I mean, the first book was like literally a bunch of teenager text messages. So there's, you know, writing was,
yeah,
was a little bit of a light lift, but it was, yeah. I mean, it was when I started this, like TikTok wasn't like super mainstream. So I remember people at the office being like, hey, I saw you on TikTok. Like, what's going on? Is everything okay or whatever? Yeah.
They clicked on something wrong and they saw you on TikTok. Yeah.
And how did your kids handle that transition? Cause I did a similar transition where I moved out of like the corporate type world and normal jobs for dads and moved into this. So your kids didn't really get a soft launch to it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're not, definitely not impressed with me the way that some people might be, but for a while my daughter was calling me, like after I left my job, she was calling me the unemployed middle-aged TikToker, you know, which I,
well,
actually that's correct, but
you were, I mean, yeah, it is, you know, statistically correct. Yep. You were very brave. You let your kids write the foreword to your book, and it's not very complimentary. That was probably a really dicey thing to do. Yes.
Yeah. So there's the book has a foreword and then little sections at the beginning of each chapter that are like from the Layton kids. And they're sort of like, I kind of put them together based on things that they've said to be in real life. And so like, there's a bit in the foreword that's like, you know, hey, our dad, you know, left a solid paying corporate job so we could film insufferable TikToks, you know, that kind of thing.
My
so,
favorite thing, and I think I got this right, it says, the first book was funny, allegedly. And then, you know, it's just like, they're not handing you anything at this point. So
no. Well, what I told him, like when I told my daughter my first book had become a New York Times bestseller, she was like, every book says that.
Well, not really. It's funny.
But it's the perfect response from a kid.
Right.
Like,
right,
yeah, what's the big deal? Are you then, you got to be, if not your kid's favorites, you've got to be the teacher's favorites. To call,
I bet the teachers love you. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's been like part of the funniest and cringiest, I'm sure, thing of like, you know, my kids' teachers following me and their friends, you know, and like actually my son graduates from college in a couple of weeks, and he's like, oh, there's a bunch of people that actually want to meet you when you come down here, you know, so it is pretty funny.
Yeah, I've in one sense or another, this is not a humble brag. I've been on the radio for 33 years. I still can't make my payments, but I've been on the radio for 33 years. And the kids would hate it because I've got a pretty recognizable last name, Spiewak. And they'd say, are you related? And you could see their heads drop. Yes, he's my father. Sometimes just being is cringy.
Yeah,
I mean, you can't win. Now, I do have a question. You did dedicate the book to your dad, your late father. I just lost my father this year, so I can relate to that. It's, you know, it sucks. Yeah. But when I thought back, I can never remember my parents embarrassing me on purpose or being cringy. Is being cringy a modern thing? Because, you know, in the early 80s when I was, you know, 11, 12 years old, I don't remember them being cringy. I thought they were cool.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I don't think it's modern. Maybe you just have really cool parents. I'm not
sure.
Well,
I do, but
But yeah,
maybe I was embarrassing them.
Right. They were just horrified by you. I don't think it's due. I do include like one or two stories from my dad when he was alive, and kind of like some silly stuff there. But I kind of think it's kind of like genetic, or like part of being a dad. Like when I told some people, some dads I was writing the book, they were like, well, why would I want to be less cringy? Like, that's isn't that like half the fun of being a dad?
Yeah, it is. It really is. And I can't imagine back like Robert Lincoln saying, oh, my dad, the president, he sucks. He's talking to everybody in Gettysburg. It's like, oh, I'm so important. I'm the president. No, but I just
beard,
have to, it's yeah, that.
It was just a different approach. And every generation has a different approach. Because I remember as a child, we head into my grandmother's house and driving past the cemetery every week. And it was the same joke by my dad every time we go in there.
Oh, people are dying to get in there?
People are dying to get in. The typical dad joke. Everyone knows it. My childhood, I remember hearing that every week.
Solid as a rock. That's a good joke. That's a good joke.
I literally like filmed a TikTok. I haven't posted it yet. I filmed a TikTok with some dad jokes in it. I used that like just the other day. It's a classic.
Yes, well, it's a classic one. It's been there for 40 years.
I think dad jokes are so deep in my structure. I think I made dad jokes when I was a kid anyway, but like there are some, and our co-host Mike, he gets mad. He says, can't you have something in your head that you don't speak? I said, no, I can't, because it's bouncing around in there. It has to get out. And I think we as dads are sometimes conditioned like almost like a reflex action. Got to do the cemetery joke. You got to do it because it's there. So, you know, I think that happens. And maybe the kids will take a shine to it with extended exposure.
Well, and Rob, if you remember, I think it was a year ago, 2 years ago, I decided that since my kids aren't around much, they're out of the house.
Right.
I'm going to just text them every morning.
And right. I remember that
joke every morning. They said they'd put my number as spam if I didn't stop.
Oh, so
I stopped after 2 weeks.
Now, being a cringy dad, Chip, and I'm talking of all of us, how do you do with texting and emojis and clever memes and stuff like that?
Well, that is a dicey area for dads.
It really is, because I can't even get there. Right.
Yeah, I do have a chapter of the book with advice on texting and social media. One area I've noticed is problematic for dads is acronyms. They kind of get some of the acronyms mixed up.
Can you give us an example?
Well, so LOL would probably be the biggest example, which stands for laugh out loud.
Of course.
You know, but yeah. Some dads think this stands for lots of love. So you get like a text like, Grandma Pat was just admitted to the ICU. LOL, Dad. You know, not good. You
know? No. But I would have to think the kids would sort of accept it because they know that Dad's just a moron. He's not really rooting against Grandma. No, and I want a step back one. You said in your book you had a couple little stories about your own father. Could you share one of those? Because, again, I'm still thinking about this whole is it a recent development thing?
Yeah. So my dad was he was a swimmer for fitness and wore a Speedo, which most people wore at the time. And he also traveled a lot for business. So one time he was at this like very nice hotel, and he asked the front desk, hey, where's the pool? And they're like, oh, it's on the third floor. And so he got his Speedo on, he got in the elevator and got off on the third floor. And as the doors closed behind him, he realized he stepped into a black tie cocktail party that was taking place around the pool. So it's that kind of stuff. So, you know, I don't know, you know.
That's fairly cringy for everybody because, obviously he's mortified. The people at the party don't like it. And then when he comes back and tells the story, you're like, Dad,
right.
Dad, or as my daughter could turn it into three syllables, Dad, why are you doing that? Yeah, I can see that. So maybe it is. Or maybe we're just a crueler people now.
Maybe. And also it's just everything is preserved now because it's text messages. So I mean, I get this question a lot with like, you know, funny things that teenagers say. It's like, I'm sure we said crazy stuff and asked crazy questions, but they're not preserved for history.
Right. Yeah. When you talk about all the cringy stuff, you had an advantage on your first book because all the texts were there, but when you have to write down the cringy stuff, I know the answer to this before I ask it. Did you have any trouble coming up with a book's worth of cringy stuff?
No, there was quite a lot. So especially for some of the sections, it was more about how do I edit this down? So I've done some like, you know, crazy dad story, like content on social media. So people have sent me stuff related to that. And so it's just to give people a sense of it. It's like most of the stuff is like accidental. So like, have a chapter on food. And so like there was a dad who he ate an entire bowl of Thousand Island dressing because he thought it was soup.
Oh, you know,
it's those those kind of dad moves.
Yeah. You know,
I've got lists and lists of those kinds of things.
Oh, I've got one for you.
Okay.
This past Christmas, my dad went into the kitchen and grabbed a handful and shoved it in his mouth. And it was those little Orbi things, the little balls that you put in water and they inflate. And
oh, yeah, yeah, like, yeah.
You
yeah.
swallow a bunch. He just thought, he thought they were candy around.
Poor dad. So many stories like that. I thought you were going to say potpourri. That's like the most common one. Like dad's just diving into the potpourri. But yeah, there's a lot of food ones.
My dad was a huge eater. So is his son. But he one time made a salad for himself when we had company over. And when people came into the kitchen, they started serving themselves from his salad because they assumed that was the salad for the entire place.
a little cringy.
Do you have a favorite passage or part of the book? I mean, I know it's there's so much love and labor and sweat that goes into a book. Is there something that just...
Child.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Right. Make that Sophie's choice for me.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of, I do like the food chapter. I will mention I have this thing in the book. I call it the dad meter, which is there's a bunch of quizzes where you can rate kind of how cringy you or the dad in your life are on this meter. So it goes from like basic to mid to extra. So
I did not take that quiz on purpose. I didn't want the answers. So
I think that's where you have the. Yeah, I think the meter is where you had the if you tied the ponytail with a zip tie, which I haven't done. I've been tempted to do many times with little girls.
Yeah, I think that's like mid on the meter. Like another one that's mid.
I'll take you high on the cringe meter is when I had a ponytail.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yes,
that's no good. Yeah. When I donated my hair to Locks of Love eventually, my wife said, somewhere there's a child with cancer with a graying, receding hairline that thanks you. So the book is Dad, Can You Not? A Dad's Guide to Being Less Cringy. It's by New York Times bestselling author Chip Layton. And we really appreciate you coming on. This would be a great gift. It's available at Amazon and wherever books are sold. For Mother's Day, which is coming up, because you can use it to make for fun of Dad. And next month is Father's Day. Be a great gift then too, right?
Boy, and right. It's a great Father's Day gift because how many Father's Day gifts are really just making fun of the father?
Of course.
Yeah. Straight to his face.
Well, and Father's Day gifts are terrible. So this is like a win-win.
They're it's worse.
Funny, you know, learn something.
I don't wear a tie around it. And also, I don't need barbecue tools. I've got them. I've got them. So thank you very much. Chip, a true pleasure. I hope you stay in touch and let us know how the book does. We wish you all the best.
Thanks so much.
Friends.
Pleasure.
Friends, a quick warning. Beware of the takers. You know the type. They listen to the free show Monday through Thursday and give nothing back. Tisk, tisk. For shame. But us, we're different. We're the givers. We give you the bonus show every Friday. We've got the goods, unfiltered, unrestricted, all access and fun. Because more access means more laughs. You deserve the good stuff, the extra stuff. We're talking TMOS extras, unpredictable bonus content you won't find anywhere else. Or go big with the commercial free feed, complete with the bonus show every single week. Sign up today because your bonus subscription keeps this whole party rolling. You fuel the fun and we keep it coming. So smash that bonus show tab at MikeOmeraShow.com and jump in. The water's fine. Be a giver. It feels great and the laughs are guaranteed. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Hi, I'm here.
We're all here.
Hello there. I know audio listeners, you won't notice that we're not on camera. There we
Ta-da!
Are. Welcome back to the show. Great interview with the author, Chip Layton. And in that book, one segment of it's something like The Dad's Guide to the Stages of a Dad Home Project, which appeals to me because it is me. Real quick, we're really short on time. I want to get to this quickly because I always bust Rob's balls about what he drinks and that he's taking in these calories. These calories are the worst, and what is this called? This is the 10 unhealthiest drinks that are on store shelves. I'm going to go through them as quickly as I can. Number 10, this will surprise you, Arizona green tea. Kind of sounds like it might be healthy,
right? I thought the green tea would be healthy.
No, it is not the green tea. Let me see this here. It's packed with antioxidants and zero calorie energy. Normal green tea turns into an absolute trash barrel here.
Oh, no.
42 grams of added sugar.
Wow.
Via honey.
They got to give it some taste.
And hook it to our veins, high fructose corn syrup.
That's true. Green tea is not particularly strong. So, you know, it's good to have some flavor, I guess.
Number 9 is Barq's root beer.
Above all other root beers?
Yeah, 44 grams of added sugar. And that all comes from high fructose corn syrup. Most of it from high fructose corn syrup. Let's see. They do have a Barq Zero now, if you're interested in that.
I wonder. I think Barq also has caffeine. It's one of the few root beers that has caffeine.
This has been all over recently. And there are varying degrees of differences on these lists. But the one that's consistent, and this was at the very top of one of the lists that I read, Welch's Grape Juice.
Wow.
You would think grape juice. It's not.
I have more grape juice, brother?
Don't buy the label hype. Whatever is good for you about one of the country's most iconic fruit juices is erased by the presidents. By the way, this comes from the New York Post.
Yeah.
Is erased by the presidents of 44 grams of sugar in a 10-ounce bottle. Go eat some fresh grapes. One cup gives you just 16 grams of sugar, according to experts. And the next one on the list.
I think it's the same with orange juice.
Orange juice probably very similar.
Orange juice is the same.
Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew is, it says simply put it down. Surely you can find better ways to add 46 grams of sugar to your diet than a bunch of processed sweetener. Think about it, over a nice lemon seltzer, perhaps. Now we move into the Starbucks world. Number 6 is Starbucks Frappuccino Coffee. 47 grams of sugar. Approximately 12 teaspoons.
That's
a lot. If you're getting away with putting 12 teaspoons of sugar in your coffee every morning, that's amazing.
Mike, do you put any sugar in your coffee? You just do some milk, right?
I have black coffee.
You drink black, so you don't put any sugar in?
No. Let's see. And let me give these a relatively overly sweet. Starbucks serves in store. We'll tell you 60 grams in a grande. Naked green tea juice machine. That's another Arizona
juice machine.
Yeah, I thought that isn't naked mean it's not supposed to add anything,
right?
Hopefully by now everyone's knows better, but in case not, Naked's juices, many of them made from relatively cheap apple juice concentrate.
Oh my god,
are not actual smoothies. This so-called green juice has 53 grams of sugar.
Wow.
You're almost better off drinking an Arizona green tea.
So I think they should have to call it green juice.
All right, so this whole list is anti-sugar.
It's anti-sugar.
That's the thing that's not healthy.
Monster energy drink at number 3. Here's Naked again. Naked Blue Machine Juice.
Blue Machine Juice.
Another scam smoothie. Let's see. This time promising a blast of cherry berry goodness, but once again delivering a bottle of mostly apple juice concentrate. That seems to be the bad one here.
Yeah.
And at number 1.
Cheap.
Naked Mighty Mango Juice.
Oh, Big Mango. I hate it.
Let's see. Committing the same as the Naked Juices, coming up for their lashings on the naughty list. One manages to be that much more wrong by finding room for a whomping 57 grams of the white stuff. Don't you give into the lure of 1 1/4 mangoes here. It's just not worth it. So there they are. That's
apparently,
we are running. Yes.
That Naked brand started as healthy and then they changed.
Well,
and
don't increase sales.
They changed their 100% fruit per bottle to the amount of fruit per spoonful.
The illusion is so strong when you see that it's going to be healthy for
it
you.
Looks healthy.
Oh,
And Josh,
God.
Did we match up today? Are you drinking Kirkland Lime?
Oh, I am.
Oh, there you go.
Seltzer.
Yeah.
Sparkling water.
Yeah, it's so good.
Perfectly good for you. We won't die. We'll be right back, everybody, right after this. Hey, Fudge Cutters, Mike O'Mara here. I want to share something my wife Carla is really excited about at DermGlow Skin. Peptides. Peptides are natural compounds in your body that act as messengers, helping with things like repair, metabolism, sleep, and energy. Now you can supplement them all. Partnering with a trusted telehealth partner, DermGlow gives you access to doctor-prescribed peptides in all 50 states. It's simple. Take a quick online quiz, get approved, and your order ships straight to your door. Peptides can improve your energy, metabolism, and cellular health, detox and skin support, hair, skin, and scalp health, better sleep, and the Wolverine stack for recovery and healing. And of course, GLP-1s for weight loss. Whether you're trying to lose 30 plus pounds or just the last five, there are programs and microdosing options to help with benefits like reduced cravings and better blood sugar balance. Everything is prescribed by licensed doctors, safely and conveniently. If you're low on energy, struggling with weight, not sleeping well, or just not feeling your best, there may be a peptide that can help you. Visit DermGlowSkin.com and click the weight loss and peptides to get started. DermGlowSkin.com, helping you feel better from the inside out.
Baby Jesus says, go to DermGlow.
All right, we've time for like a half a video here. That's what we
I've
have.
Got a lot of long ones, Mike. A lot of love this.
Sorry about that. Let's get to the beautiful video, and then we have
hey,
to take
I
our
like
lead.
That. Some beautiful video.
Jerry time.
Mike, today's beautiful video is brought to you by the Paris Hilton album Infinite Icon that you can get autographed.
There she
at
is.
ParisHilton.com.
Isn't she lovely? Looks like a Barbie doll.
She Beautiful. Does. I don't think there's any airbrushing done there. No. That's just None. An actual photo.
All AI.
I'm very surprised.
Trivia question for Mike O'Mara. What was the name at the time of his death? What was the name of Jack Kent Cook's little dog?
Blank. Absolutely blank.
He shares it with the star of this video, Coco.
Coco. Hello, Coco.
Coco.
And the chimpanzee or the gorilla, Coco.
Yeah, that's true. That's
with
very
William
true.
Shatner.
But mm-hmm. this Coco is in Argentina, and he walked 30 blocks from his home and walked into a soccer stadium and was having the time of his life. There's Coco. There they get is. Some great close-ups. This is so great. I love dogs, and this dog is so happy. Look at him.
I heard Perro.
I love they're not stopping the clock.
I love that too.
Look, he's so happy. And here's the great thing. This tape goes on for like 3 minutes. They never caught him. He found his way out of the stadium and walked back home.
Walked, or he ran back home.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's
oh, he'd be so tired. But man, I love it. I think that's so great. Hooray for Coco.
I love you, Coco. Okay.
All right, Mike. I want to talk to you about Dolly Parton's stones.
Oh, she's not kidney stones?
Yeah. And so
that was the health issue?
She's better, but she's still not on stage. But she did take the time to put up a video for all to see and let her know that she's going to be okay.
Well, hey there, it's Dolly. And I'm here to give you an update on a few things going on in my life. First, it's concerning my health. And I have some good news and a little bad news. But the good news is I'm responding really well to meds and treatments, and I'm improving every day. Now, the bad news is it's going to take me a little while before I'm up to stage performance level because some of the meds and treatments make me a little bit swimmy-headed, as my grandma used to say. And, of course, I can't be dizzy carrying around banjos, guitars, and such on 5-inch heels.
So...
Man, she looks good.
She really, that's the, I know I give her.
I don't know why you hate her so much.
I don't hate her. I don't. I just have trouble with her loose-fitting dentures.
Well, everybody gets old, Rob. That's just the way it works.
I know, Mike, but it's sad.
I know.
But she does look great, and I don't think there's any performer that would do an apology video that would do hair, makeup, and a proper set.
Yeah.
I really give her credit for
She's
that.
She's a pro, baby. Yeah, she's a pro. Is.
Meanwhile, this comes from the Josh Schroeka Library, and I had never seen it. This is a
Josh. Did I mention that we're short on time?
No, you did not.
We got to wrap it up, Rob.
Mike, this is the last tape.
Okay,
this is the last tape.
You didn't say finally. That's why I said that. All right.
Finally, this is from the Josh Schroeka Library. on local news, when something goes wrong, you can either totally handle it right or punt it. This lady handles it right. Let's see what was going on in the weather in Minnesota.
58 right now in the Twin Cities. It's a comfortable Tuesday night. 46 in Hinckley, 57 in Marshall. 50 is the current temperature right now in Winona. Ooh, that's funky. What is going on? Ooh! I don't really know what's going on. They're, oh man, do you guys want one Jennifer or two Jennifers? This is
we're having a technical meltdown.
It's fantastic.
Can you lead that train off the line?
This is great. Watch.
Can you lead that train off the screen?
That's awesome. That's the way you do it.
I have no idea what that was.
That's great.
The thing I like about it is that each continual image was just a little bigger. So it was almost like a monster movie.
She did a great job with that. We got to get out of here. I want to thank Chip Layton. The book is Dad, Can You Not? And thank you guys for doing that interview. We really appreciate it. We will be back with a brand new episode tomorrow. For Rob Spiewak and Josh Soroka, Michael Mara saying so long, everybody.
Love you, Pop.
Make sure you check out the Michael Mara Bonus Show. Get it at michaelmaraShow.com.
Michael Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Shut up!